I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I think I've made my opinion fairly public about my love of Phil's coffee, and I'm not going to hide it anymore. I feel like it's time for me to really go to the mat on that and not be ashamed. And Phil's Coffee, P-H-I-L-Z, they're not a sponsor. You know why? You know how you know that? I don't have sponsors. That's how you know that Phil's is not. By deductive reasoning, if I have no sponsors, then Phil's cannot be a sponsor. You thought there'd be no math in this podcast? Think again. Anyway, so I'm wearing my Phil's. I go to I go away this weekend to my twins have a soccer tournament. So we the whole family goes. In fact, my folks came up. Both my sisters, cousins. It was fun. We had a really good time. We all kind of met because we traveled, so it was sort of central to everybody. And so we had a nice soccer tournament. And anyway, the second day I got up and we had one game. And then we hit the road to drive back, and I was wearing my Phil's coffee T-shirt. I bought it years ago because I like it. It was just kind of a cool shirt. I was in Phil's. I was like, that's kind of a hip looking shirt. You guys have probably seen it in videos of mine. Anyway, and so I'm wearing my Phil's shirt. We drive home, and on the way home, we stop to have some food at this place called Veggie Grill. Again, it's good. It doesn't blow my mind, but it's fine. It's good. So it's in the shopping center, and we go to Veggie Grill, and we have dinner. Well, there happens to be a Phil's Coffee there in the shopping center, and so before we hit the road, everyone gets in the car, and I go, you know what? Luna and my daughter and I'm busting out. I'm going to go get, Lisa takes the kids to the car, Luna and I go run over, literally jog over to Phil's Coffee and to get a coffee for the road. I don't make the connection on the way to Phil's Coffee that I'm wearing the Phil's T-shirt. It was a T-shirt I just threw in my bag, and I put it on that day with no intention whatsoever. I can't stress that enough. That of going to Phil's Coffee, it was not, I'm going to wear my shirt and go to Phil's. So I walk in Phil's Coffee and I'm standing in line, and Luna says, you know, you're wearing a Phil's T-shirt. And I think she said it not to make fun of me, but like sort of to point out, and I'd be fine either way, by the way. She's got the biting wit that runs in the Hillman line. Anyway, and so she points that out, and I look down and I realize that I've gone into Phil's Coffee wearing a Phil's T-shirt. Now you might be thinking, what's the big deal, Sid? In the big scheme of things, it's not a big deal. I just felt like a dork. I mean, I felt like a fan of Phil's Coffee beyond my actual level of fandom of Phil's Coffee. I'm not a stalking, like, okay, so here's my plan today. We're going to go to Phil's Coffee. I've got to make sure I wear the Phil's shirt so that when I go in Phil's Coffee, I'm representing. You know, it's like wearing a Giants shirt to a Giants game. A little bit dorky. Look, if you wear this, your sporting team's shirt to a game, have at it. You're a fan. It doesn't make it less dorky. It's a little bit dorky. Is that okay? Sure. I think we need a little bit, we need more, the world needs more nerds. It's fine, but it's a little dorky, right? So I'm standing in line and I'm like, am I just the weirdest coffee dork in the world? I'm wearing the T-shirt of the place. That's how much they think that I love Phil's Coffee. And I like it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying not on that level. I don't love it on that level. It just was a cool shirt and the stars aligned that day. People think now, seeing me in there, they had a moment thought of, before I went out of their brains, of, man, that guy must really love Phil's. He just wore the T-shirt to come get a coffee. That's how much he loves Phil's Coffee. Right now, I'm drinking a Zinfandel. Not by Phil's, but it was. I will say, in all defense of that whole rigmarole, the coffee I got was called an Ether. I'm not joking. One of the better cups of coffee I've ever had. It may have been that day, and I'm not hyperbolic unnecessarily. It was one of the better. And my wife, I agreed. She had it. She goes, "Holy crap! This is a great cup of coffee." I was like, "I know." So we agreed on that. All in all, pretty damn good day, I'd have to say. I hope you guys are doing okay. Just plugging along, you know, plugging along. Listen, I got a book in my brain, another book that I'm in a very creative, I've talked about this already, not going to beat a dead horse. If you haven't heard this, go back in a few episodes, you'll hear me kind of because I'm kind of watching this from afar going, holy shit, what's going on here? Because I've got 11 songs ready, finished. I've got email out to a recording studio. I'm like kind of it's exciting to me. It's like the fire's coming, but I've also got an idea for a book. And I feel on the book front a little, I'm tempted to start writing it. I want to find, you know, like when I had record labels put out my albums, I got spoiled by that because I was like, yeah, now I don't want to put out my own album because I want to, because if I, you know, once you have a label, it's like, fine. Well, same thing with the publishing. It's like, I had my first two books were published. My second book, Raising Healthy Parents, didn't do so well. So my feeling probably is that the publisher won't want to do another book with me. And I got to tell you, like, it's probably okay because I don't think they pushed it well at all. So it's sort of like mutual, but I don't know how my chances are finding another publisher given the fact that my second book was on numbers wise a failure. And I'm bummed about it because I love that freaking book. I think it's freaking awesome. And you should read it. In fact, I'm kind of toying with the idea of doing a Patreon, and thank you everybody for who supports me on Patreon. It's just amazing because it's you guys, it's great. I've been thinking about doing like a limited promotion on Patreon as I'm approaching episode 50 of this podcast, to no matter what level you sign up at, to send you a signed, personally signed with whatever message you want, copy of Raising Healthy Parents. And so I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there. I haven't actually put it on Patreon because I'm not really good that way. But if it's of interest to you, get on Patreon, shoot me a message on Patreon at whatever level and just be like, yeah, I heard the podcast and I want the freaking book. Say it like that. Say, I want the goddamn book, Sid, bastard. I respond to things like that. I feel like we're on the same page when you do. And so I'll send you a book and you can just tell me what you want me to write in it. So anyway, because it's a good book. If you know any parents, you know, or soon to be parents, have been parents for a while, you're a parent, get it out there. It's a good book. I think, well reviewed. Just didn't sell well. It sold some. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I thought it would sell would be a lot more. Mm. So I'm drowning my sorrows in a Zinfandel. Because I feel like I can get on top of my emotions that way. What? Did you just try to segue into the subject of this week's episode by talking about wine? Yes, I did, you guys. Groundbreaking? So groundbreaking. Mr. and Mrs. Control issues. I want to talk about control. I want to talk about control. Here's why. I didn't know what this podcast really was going to be when I launched it. I knew that I wanted it to be anything and everything that piqued my interest. I knew I didn't want to be limited by anything. I wanted everything on the table. I wanted to take the gloves off. I knew the rubric. I knew the basic structure was going to be pretty structureless and just anything I wanted to talk about. I wanted the freedom of that. And so I'm seeing themes sort of pop up as I'm doing episodes that I'm inspired to do, but also sort of paying attention to what I'm inspired to do. And I'm going, okay, well, there's some themes that are kind of rearing their heads throughout the episodes. And, you know, it's definitely become a philosophy, you know, a lot of ethics, a lot of morality issues, a lot of, you know, taking subjects of politics and backing out on them, taking subjects of diet and health even and backing out on them, and kind of having a background of a philosophy, ethical discussion, meta, you know, like above all this minutia kind of to back out. And that's just where I'm at. It's where my brain is. It's what Sid thinks. That's where I'm at. If you're just joining this first episode, then just go back. You got 46 episodes to check that shit out. And so control is something that while I haven't actually done an episode on control, I'm definitely looking back and saying, okay, well, there's a theme that is, I am revisiting. It's definitely in the health and, excuse me, fitness realm, definitely in the political realm, definitely in the world realm, definitely in the social media realm, is a feeling of lack of control, a feeling like the problems that exist, what you are focused on, I guarantee you, if you are focused on some problem in the world, it probably feels out of your control. Aside from the fact that there are actual studies that are at least correlative between lack of control and things like heart disease, lack of feeling in your job, you know, the more control you have in your job, the less it's not brain science, you guys, not brain surgery. It's like the more control you, more autonomy you have and more control you have at your job, the more, the less overall stress. If you have this lack of control, like you're just being told what to do and you have no say, it's in a way, and I'm sort of harking back to my first book, Approaching the Natural, it's sort of like a not a natural state for our species to just be completely at the will of somebody else. I mean, it's a we're getting paid for it, but in terms of its design, it's sort of you're like an indentured servant. You know, at that point, it's like I'm doing exactly what you tell me, but I have no say. It's a weird place for us to be. And so we're living in the world, and we're experiencing, many of us, probably most of us, I would say, on some level. Maybe there's areas in our life where we feel like we have some control, but maybe there's areas like I'm guaranteeing that most, if not everybody listening to this, including me, has some areas where we feel like we wish we had more control and we don't. Like getting a publisher, for instance. You know, like there's just things where I'm like up against a thing where I'm like, I wish I had more control over this thing. I feel like it's a bigger animal that I cannot wrangle. There's certain things I can't break the ceiling, can't get on top of it. So on top of everything else, in the world, these sort of big picture items, politics being one of them, and economics and the state of the world and the climate change, that's a big one, global warming. There are lots of things in the world that we feel like we are out of our control. And then on top of that, we often don't feel like we have control over ourselves. And this is where I step in as sort of the health coach, small steps guy, noticing that on top of this lack of feeling like we can't make that much of a difference on these big ticket items that we're stressed about, then we look individually and we are less able to, or less set up for success in terms of creating a life that we feel like we have control over as well. And that, of course, speaks to things like exercise or diet and things like that. And we instinctually, I think, whether it's instinctual or not, I have no idea, but we want to there's a grab for control. Like we see we hear about a school shooting, and it's just massive, and the gun control thing, and it's all of a sudden this massive, we feel like there's nothing we can do about it. And so what do? Thoughts and prayers. That's kind of thoughts. And I'm sending all the politicians, sending my thoughts and prayers. And not to discount that so much, but clearly we're not understanding the nature of thoughts and prayers, because it's at the end of the day, sorry, but it's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, it really, really is. Thoughts and prayers, it's like, it's not fixing the problem. It's a false sense of control. Well, if I send thoughts and prayers, then I'm doing something about this problem, but you're really not. And I think it lends itself to potentially a result where eventually, if we grow into it enough, we realize that isn't actual control. And I think if we are more honest with the areas that we lack control, then it doesn't come out in fucked up ways. And I think if we aren't addressing our lives on an individual level, where we have control, where we don't, where we want more control, where we need more control, then it gets expressed in very weird ways, like in potentially abusive ways, where you're trying to control somebody else's actions, where it's not a good situation. Like most situations where you repress something, it's going to come out in some odd, totally out of balance way. That's where I see a fundamental lack of control, a feeling of fundamental lack of control expressing itself in the world, is in very weird ways, very insecure sort of, well, I don't want to do the work to actually create a system and a situation for my life where I'm actually in control of my actions for the most part. And instead, I'm going to sort of bounce it out into the world in a way that is totally nuts. And I hope I'm being vague. Am I being vague? I hope I'm being vague. I'm trying not to be too specific, because hopefully you guys know where I'm going with this or what I'm talking about. Our actions, in other words, can reflect in a not a positive way in the world. They can, if we're really feeling like we're out of control, if we're not in our job feeling like we have any control over what we do, and then in our lives we are in a relationship where we don't feel like we have a voice, then it's going to get passed down in some weird way, and somebody else is going to be victimized by our need to feel like we have a handle on any situation. We want to feel like we have a handle on our lives. I think at the end of the day, that is true for most people. We want to feel like we have a handle on our lives. Instead, we're just bombarded with shit that we think is too big for us to deal with. And then in our own lives, we're put in situations that are very hard to maintain, like our jobs, control of our job, like you own your own business, and then you're still, it's not cut and dry, right? I taught a really good class recently at the inn. I at the resort, I do the, you know, healthy nutrition and healthy living. I always make a point to say it's nutrition, and then we move on from that and into the actual healthy living, which is a whole nother bag. You guys know me. But really nice couple and super cool, and he they were obviously, like most people in, who walk in the door, intelligent and pretty self-aware. He wanted to learn about nutrition to be sure, but he knew that his habits around like junk food were stress related. He understood. He goes, I have a new job and it's very stressful, and I walk in the door and I have these, I want to be able to make better choices, but it's, you know, the stress. You know, thing of junk food. He totally got that. And so I quickly was like, first of all, good on you for realizing the subtlety of that. We want to make it about the food. What's a better choice than a Twinkie? Well, a lot of things are, and you know what those are, but the reason you go to the Twinkie isn't because you think the Twinkie is good for you. The reason we go to the Twinkie is because you had a stressful day. So let's deal with the stress of the day. Well, that's really what we're talking about. And when you talk about, you know, lack of control and heart disease, or lack of control and depression, and lack of control and in sickness in any way, you are talking about stress. You are talking about a life that is stressful for you, and your desire to mitigate, if not completely get rid of that stress. And you do that in ways that are typically going to be not that healthy, because it's the fastest solution to your stress, which is going to be junk food. It's not healthy, but it's the fastest thing. A cheese pizza is phenomenal. It gets rid of that stress pretty damn fast. It just ends up long-term causing more stress, but okay. I mean, that's what it is. But it's very, very difficult, and I want to make sure that everybody listening to this and anybody who's, you know, joined Small Steppers or whatever, to understand that what we're freaking up against is not easy enough to say, well, you don't have control at work, so come home and have more control over what you eat. They're interconnected. Our lives and the stress of our lives in terms of obligations and responsibilities directly affect our choices. And on top of that, this is not us in the wild where we would find food and eat it and not have to choose between the food we find and the junk food. We are in now, on top of everything else that we don't have control over, we're placed in a situation where we have to oftentimes make a choice about food, which is, it's what we do in the modern world, but can we at least admit that it's completely unnatural to have to battle through the battles that we have day to day over food? And I, it's just as an aside, totally pisses me off because I still hear it. I'm empowering my child to make his or her own food choices. You're not empowering your child. You are setting your child up for a lifetime of battling food. That's what you're doing. Teach them. Teach your children. Teach your children how to eat well, how to deal with that issue, because that way you can mitigate their struggles later on. Don't throw them out into the modern world. You're not throwing them out into the wild. You're throwing them out into a modern world that has Twinkies and Big Macs. That's a minefield. That it's too hard to say, I empower you, when the choice is unnatural in the first place. You're not creating a situation that they're within which they're going to succeed. Chances are they're not going to. You know how I know? Because most adults I work with are having problem with that choice. And they're matured. Their brains are grown and matured and are further evolved than a child's. And so you're on top of the lack of control in the workplace and feeling like this, you're coming home and placing yourself in a situation that's way more difficult to control than it ever would be, and that we're frankly wired to deal with. It's very, very difficult. I want people to just sort of understand that baseline so that we can say, okay, really here's what we're dealing with. I got to take a little bit of weight off my shoulders, a little bit of stress off my shoulders. I'm not really a failure because I have a hard time making so-called good choices around food. I'm a human being in a crazy situation where I have to make a decision If I want to live healthy, I have to actually make a choice about certain things like moving my body, which I don't have to do, and eating well, which I don't have to do because I can get a Twinkie. So it's very, very, I want everybody to sort of take the heat off a little bit, take it easy, take the weight off your shoulders a little bit. This is not an easy game for anybody. I'm not kidding. This is difficult for everybody. Even the most successful people, sometimes they're going to be, you find people like in these sort of power positions, but they're highly overweight. You can see that they're stressed. That's a manifestation of just areas in their life that they do not have control over, and they're manifesting any control where they can, and it's out of balance and it's out of whack, and we need to be a little bit empathetic to ourselves and to other people in that situation. And so I want to make clear that this is about, I'm going to sort of wrap this up in the way that I might, which is that it is our perception of lack of control in some fashion, and also actually some things that are out of our control. You know, like the fact is we do have control over our food choices. Most of us do. Most of us. Not everybody. Some people just get what they can get, and that's, I get it. But for people who go shopping at the market, we actually do have control. I mean, factually, we do. We're autonomous. We have money enough to buy either a cucumber or a Twinkie. And if we buy the Twinkie, it's not because we don't have control over that situation. We'll say we don't. I just can't control myself. But you actually can. It's just you got to first identify where the issue is, which is not about knowledge about which is healthier, but about the stress of your day, and figure out how you can, you know, lower that stress so that when you're actually making the choice of around food, you're more who you are. Low stress, taking a couple deep breaths. And I think that when we can put some actions into place that enable us to have some semblance of control, or at least if we believe we are partially steering the ship of our lives, I think this has a wide-ranging benefit. I think that this benefits everything. I think control issues, like the reason why I titled this episode Mr. and Mrs. Control Issues, like, I mean, there's people who have control, like, and look, I've been one of them. I've again, this is the stuff I'm working on myself. I'm very clear about this. I'm in the game with you guys. This is all us together. But control issues, like people who are sort of kind of like crazy type A, gotta control everything. How's that working for them? It's not. But if you at least identify this need to feel like we have some semblance of a handle on what's going on in our lives. And if we don't, we often abuse ourselves. We often potentially abuse other people. I don't mean like actual abuse necessarily, but, you know, in a dysfunctional relationship kind of way. So what I am going to say is, and I'll harp on social media just for a second, because I don't want to go too far on that, because I don't want to make every episode about it. It's definitely populating my brain these days, the real estate in my brain. But isn't this the ultimate shortcoming, or one of the shortcomings of social media, which is a false sense of control and influence? I mean, I just got a comment on one of my YouTube videos that was like a while ago. So somebody just happened upon it. And she's like, so I'm an artist, and so I just can't help myself, but I just want to tell you, like, it would have been better if you had, you know, shown this footage this way, some critique. And I was just like, oh, for love. So because you're an artist, you can't help yourself. It sounds correct. Like, because you're an artist, first of all, I don't know if she's an actual artist. I don't even know. Don't care. But secondly, this jump of like, because you're an artist, then you, oh, and she said, I just feel the need, even if I'm not asked, to offer my advice. And I'm like, well, those are two separate things. You feel the need to offer your advice, even if you're not asked, has nothing to do with you're an artist. If you think that giving your artist gives you some cred, it might, but it doesn't change the fact that you weren't asked for your opinion. But this is that kind of thing. It's like, I gotta feel like I can get into the game. And social media really has a weird place in that it gives people who feel like they don't have a voice, but they don't really have a voice, not in the way that makes them feel strong and powerful and heard. And that is the craziness of our lives right now. I'll tell you this, like, my spike in creativity, I've already said, but I'm linking it very, very, very profoundly to my off social media, off the news. I feel like I have more control over my life because I'm submitting myself and to less to areas where I feel like I've lack, where I have, I feel like I have lack of control. I'm shutting those things down, understanding that they're there, dabbling a little bit. Like I hear about things. I'm not trying to cut myself off completely, but I've definitely backed off enough to, so that I can get back to actually establishing control where I can have control. So my ultimate message with this episode is, if you are in a job where you feel like you're out of control, where you don't have control, where you're lack of control, not out of control, but lack of control. If you're in a relationship, a situation, a family, whatever, where you feel at this point that you don't have control, first and foremost, understand that. First and foremost, admit it. First and foremost, go, okay, this is a place where I do not have control. And understand, secondly, how important it is in our lives to feel in wherever we can that we do have control. I'm just going to say, to acknowledge that feeling like you have control over a situation or your life in some fashion is important. It is a value, and it is, on a very physical level, a healthier situation to feel like you have a handle on something in your life. It is not a good situation to feel like everything is just like you're being bounced around like a pinball. It ain't a pretty picture. And so if you're in a situation where you feel like you have a lack of control in most areas of your life, here's what you do. You find it elsewhere. You find it somewhere. Get it in whatever fashion you can and start to grab it wherever you can.
When you found your way to me, your hair shone like silver. When you hovered around me, your eyes bright like silver. Silver's more pretty than gold. And silver's more pretty than gold. To this day when I wake to you, I'm soft into the gray. When you shut everything out, all that sharp is dulled to gray. And clouds are much sweeter than blue sky. And clouds are much sweeter than blue. I'm trying to force things down. Just cannot be. I'm trying to plan things out that I cannot see. Back to me, I'm struck by the quiet of knowing. When I fear things falling from me, I'm shown by you the truth. And truth is much stronger than lies. Truth is much stronger than lies. Silver's more pretty than gold. And clouds are much sweeter than blue.